I'm preaching today on the subject, for better or worse. For better or worse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I find this to be a very different passage of Scripture. When Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and they have a lot of problems, it's amazing how a church that has started out so strong and done so much for God in such a short period of time is now getting letters from the apostle to reprimand them and correct them, and how they have strayed from the faith in just a short period of time. And then because of the straying from the faith, it has brought a lot of division among them. And there's nothing worse than dealing with division in anything, and especially in the church. It's terrible to deal with divisions in families, in church, on the job. Divisions are never pleasant. And these divisions came over the interpretation of God's word as to what is spiritual, what is right, what is good. And they were still coming. I think they were still coming because they just loved to fight. I think they came to see the fight every service. And I'm confident. I've preached in some places where the only reason folks came was to see what they could argue about that day. And I've literally preached in churches, this is not an exaggeration, where everybody on one side that were together, they were on that side, and everybody on the other side was on that side, and never the twain met. They never spoke, they never got along, and yet they were trying to hold on. I dealt with a church just down through this week, a great division in the church. And it's ridiculous what the division's over. I hate to say that, but it is, and usually it is in our life in most cases. But he writes this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. And what a powerful statement. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. How can anybody go to church and not be better? How can you go to church and leave worse than when you came? But it happens. It happens constantly. Now, a lot of people, this message is not to scold. It's just, I want us to open our eyes to a few things, because changes are on the way. You can't stop change. Change is inevitable. And whether we want to admit it or not, I went back in my mind over the past several days as I was praying and preparing for this sermon. I went back over my mind, and maybe if they teach differently than this now, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying this is the way that I was taught in school, and I realize everything changes. In fact, I think there's one less planet than when I went to school. I'm old. By the time we get done, we won't have any planets left, maybe. I don't know. But things change. That's what I'm saying. But when I was in school, when they taught us in science, we didn't have a lot of specialty. When I got older, of course, there was chemistry and a lot of other things. And they taught some basics about matter and energy in science. They taught us that really matter, energy, and energy were always in one of three states. It's what they called the dynamic state, which meant that it was active and growing. Then there was what they called the static state, which meant that it had plateaued and wasn't changing. That there's some things in matter and energy that hasn't changed. It stayed the same. But that's not really true in most cases, because they said very rarely does something stay in a static change. It becomes what they call entropic. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? I'm glad I remembered that. What I was taught was an entropic state is a state of disorder or decay. So here's the essence of it. Everything is either growing or dying. A flower will be at a state where it blossoms out in the dynamic state, but almost immediately it doesn't stay static very long. It starts into a process of dying. When you see the flower in full bloom, it's starting to die. And really, that's a law of God, even in His Word. That law exists in every situation. You know, everything is either getting better or getting worse. We just go along with me, because I won't preach real long this morning. Just go along with me on this. I want everybody on this half of the church, I want you to stand up and look all around the church, up in the balcony, every face you can see, everyone you can see, look all around, okay? Don't say anything. Have you looked all around? Okay, you can sit down. Everyone on this half, and if you didn't stand in the balcony earlier, you can stand too. I want you to stand up and look all around, up the balcony, look at the back of everybody's head, and look all around. Everybody look around. Get that picture in your mind. Okay. You can be seated. 5 years from now, this church will never look like it looks today. 5 years from now, you can just rest assured of it. This church will either be better or it will be worse. Because all things are changing. Everything changes. Everything changes physically. Now, some things we don't have control of. Physically, you'll either be in better health 5 years from now or worse health. Financially, you won't be exactly the same 5 years from now as you are right now. You say, well, if I look at my bank account, it's the same. No, inflation will either increase or decrease. And even though you may have the same money to the penny, it won't have the same value 5 years from now. Is that right? Professionally, it changes because people in business, you know, multi-billion dollar businesses 20 years ago don't even exist now. The VHS tape business. And I'm not saying that it's not still there, but if people bank everything they had on that business and they didn't make changes, it's gone. The occupation you're in, it'll change. Like it or not, it will change. Businesses that 20 years ago started out, 20 years ago they were in somebody's garage or somebody's little desk at their house, is now multi-billion dollar businesses. It happens. Change. Now, some things we don't have control over. But when it comes to spiritual things, so that's really the first point, is everything is either growing or dying. It's getting better or it's getting worse. We don't have control over everything in our health. You have some control, but not all control. You don't have everything in control over the economy. You have nothing to do with it. Trust me. And Washington doesn't either. I think anymore it's almost, when it comes to economists, they close their eyes and throw the dart and hope they hit something right. But everybody has the answer, but it's just, we don't know. But spiritually, if God lets us live 5 more years, we have control over whether spiritually we are better or worse, or the church is better or worse. We have control of that. I know that's a basic principle. There's nothing really outstanding about that, but I watch it all the time. I can look at people in this church today that 5 years ago, where you have come spiritually in 5 years staggers your pastor's mind. It really does. I have watched you go from just trying to exist to spiritual prayer warriors and powerhouses in a 5-year period of time. It's not because of the preaching. It's not because it's always been out here for all of us. Like it or not, we make a choice. See, there's a difference between being just a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And the difference is you started doing it. You started applying it. And then in like manner, I've seen people 5 years ago that they don't realize it. They thought, I reached the plateau and I'm just going to stay there. You can't do that. You're entropic. You're dying. You're going the other way. Oh, that didn't go over well. We make a choice spiritually. Will you allow me to share? I hope that you don't think that I'm too far off base. I just have to share with you an Old Testament principle that it's hard to really grasp in your mind. If maybe the way I tell it to you will make it a little easier. This is the way I perceive it. If you don't perceive it that way, I promise you I won't fall out with you. But I got to reading a lot about Haggai. Haggai is only 2 chapters long. It's 3 books back from the New Testament. So, you know, you got Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai coming back. Just 2 chapters long. There's not a lot of verses in it. They consider it to be one of the minor prophet books, prophetic books. But yet Haggai played such an important role in the Word of God. You remember Israel fell into this routine where they would do right and then they would sin and then they would do right and they would sin and repent and they would do right and they would do wrong then and repent and they'd come back to God and God would bless them. But after a while they just kept sinning and kept sinning and kept, they were getting worse. Not because it was God's desire, but they wound up in Babylonian captivity. They were carried away, exiles, in a foreign land, away from Jerusalem, away from the temple that they loved and the church that they loved. I realize it wasn't the church per se as we know the church today, but it was the Old Testament example of the New Testament church. It was the place where the glory of God dwelt. It was the place where the sacrifice was taught and the blood was shed. That was the Old Testament principle. So after all of these years of captivity, they said to Nehemiah, they said to Ezra, they said to other leaders, you can go back to Jerusalem. And they go back and they start rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the temple. I'm about a third of the way through a series in Zechariah that I'll get back to. But through that, they start rebuilding. But then all of a sudden they get hit with a few things. They get hit with adversity. And people were ridiculing them. That doesn't look like it used to look. That's not how things were. The temple's not as beautiful as it one time was. The walls, you didn't do this right. And on top of that, there were enemies coming from the outside that oftentimes they'd have to have a trowel in one hand to lay up the mortar and they'd have a sword in the other hand. So they were building and battling at the same time. And it was hard on them. And it took a toll on them. And then economically, everything went under. And it took a lot of money to all of a sudden rebuild God's house that had gone into disrepair. Because it changed. It got worse. It can happen, folks. See, as you go individually, you'll go collectively. And pretty much what took place was Haggai come along as a prophet. And God said, speak the word, Haggai. It wasn't popular, but he preached it anyway. And basically, this was the word that he shared with them. He said, tell them, I'm the Lord God of Israel. I'm still God. I haven't changed. He's the only one that stays the same. We change. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Word of God says. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm about to have a spell this morning. So basically, this is what it said. Remind them of a few things. I know the adversity and I know the economy. I know their fears and I know their concern. But tell them, don't sit in your sealed houses. I want you to get up and go up on the mountains. I've already put wood there to build my house back. By the time you get to the second chapter, he's getting bolder in the statement. He said, hey, by the way, tell them, don't worry about the economy. The gold and the silver, it's all mine. The earth and the fullness thereof, it's the Lord. He said, everything they need to get the job done, I know exactly where it's at. I'm going to provide all of it for them. You tell them, get busy, get up. And suddenly, Zerubbabel had his heart stirred and he started stirring others. And the spirit of prophecy, you'll read another Old Testament passages that correlate with that time. They're suddenly encouraging one another, speaking kind words to one another. They decide, we're not going to stay this way. We're going to make it better. God says, now, for you to understand that, you've got to grasp this truth. He said, I've got two questions for the priests. I want you to answer these questions. And God says, Haggai, have the priest tell me what this means. He said, a priest has holy meat in the skirt of his garment. Chapter 2, you'll find it. And he said, he's carrying this holy meat. Now, what does that mean? You remember after they offered the sacrifice, they were to eat the meat? It was theirs. Well, how did they get the meat off the fire on feast days? How did they get the meat off the fire and take it to the table? The garments were long. And they would take the skirt of their garment and put the holy meat. That's meat that had been sanctified because it had been sacrificed and roasted. The flesh was theirs to eat. And they would wrap that up in their garment. And they'd carry it like this. You get the idea? They didn't have a roasting pan and oven mitts. They put the holy meat in the skirt of their garment. And they carried it around like this. And sometimes they're busy. They're trying to provide for everyone. He said, if the priest has holy meat in his garment. And he said, if he accidentally bumps into a table that has bread on it and oil on it and other meat on it, wine on it. In other words, all the other food is on the table. And he has his holy meat and he bumps into the table. Well, everything on the table become holy. And do you know what the priest's answer was? No. Just because he accidentally, I don't know if you're ready for this today or not. Just because he accidentally bumps in to something that is ordinary with the holy, that doesn't make the ordinary holy. He said, well, let me ask the second question. He said, the second question is this. If that same man has touched a dead body, he's unclean. No longer does he carry holy meat, he's now unclean. If the unclean bumps into that same table of bread and oil and meat and other food that's on that table. Is everything on the table now because he's unclean? And he bumps into the same table, the same items. Is all of that unholy and unclean? And the answer comes, no. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I want to help you today. The principle is this. God says nobody gets holy accidentally. See, all of this is a picture. The priest with the holy meat in his garment, that's a picture of the Lord. The man that touches the corpse and is unclean, the dead body, That's a picture of the devil. And the food on the table is a picture of you and I. At that time, it was a picture of Israel. But the principle, the law, still follows. What was there then still stands today. And what he's saying is, it's just this simple. You're not going to be bumped into accidentally with holy things and make you holy. You've got to get holy on purpose. You've got to make your mind up. I'm going to be better 5 years from now than I am right now. I want to be closer to God 5 years from now than I am right now. I want to do more for God 5 years from now than what I'm doing right now. You don't just accidentally get holy. But if you get idle too long, you can accidentally bump into the devil and become unholy and unclean very quickly. And it's easier to do that than it is to do the other. I'm saying this. I want our church to be stronger 5 years from now than it is right now. I believe Jesus could come in a minute, but if he don't come, I choose let's be better. Let's be better. We don't want to be worse. We want to be better 5 years from now. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better citizen. I want to be better 5 years from now than I am right now. Would somebody join me on that and say, preacher, I want to be better too. And that won't come by accident. That'll come through prayer and seeking God and leaning on the Holy Spirit and trusting Him for wisdom and saying, Lord, I want to be better 5 years from now than I am right now. Now the alternative. If you don't choose that, you will accidentally bump into the devil. And you'll be worse. You'll be worse. For better, for worse. You thought it was just for weddings. But here he says it. We're either going to do it for better or for worse. Our church is in a place right now with all of this, with the virus and everything else. I'm telling you this as your pastor. I'm telling you this in love. We're in a place right now where we could experience over the next 5 years such dynamic growth. And dynamically, we could change for the better. It doesn't mean that where we're at has been wrong to this point. It's just the fact I can't come to this point and stay here. I'm not home yet. Spiritually, I've got to keep climbing. Spiritually, I've got to keep searching. Spiritually, I've got to keep learning more of God's Word and God's ways. I don't try to come into this pulpit without studying. Seeking God. I've sought God through this time, and I'm not praising myself. I've sought God through this time. Lord, give me fresh holy meat. Every week, every service. Lord, I don't want to get up and preach a lot of reruns and things that people have known. There's nothing new under the sun, but it's new to us. So I'm determining today, if the Lord leaves me on this earth, for 5 more years, I want to be better 5 years from now and not worse. There's things that I don't have control of, but I do have control of that. And you have the choice, and you make the choice, and it's a conscious decision for better or worse. They'll come, they'll sing. The choice is yours. I'm stopping there. I've got another part of this message. That's just the introduction. God allows me to get to the other, we'll deal with it. But for better, for worse. the decision. Now let me tell you, if you're lost without the Lord, you're not going to stay where you're at forever. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to live forever. You're going to die, and it's going to get worse quick. But for us that know the Lord, and anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can know the Lord. And for us that know the Lord, not only can we be better here, but then when He calls us, it's far better.